This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I'm excited to be with you today with my guest, Laura Nessmiller. Very excited to hear from her. She is full of stories of God working in her life, and I cannot wait to hear them. So I don't know any of these stories, but I'm really excited to hear them. I know that she has experienced God in very real and authentic ways. I know that she has her life has been changed because of a relationship with God, and I don't know the details behind the scenes, but we are going to uncover them today together. So I'm excited for this conversation. Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for the opportunity for me to be faithful to God's command to share of His glory. We are called to share His stories. And I like to say that my story is not my story. It's His story. I'm just along for the ride.
Amen to that. That's exactly why we do this, because this is all about who is God? What does God do? And how does He work with us? How does He interact with people on earth, right? And so we get to hear that about your life today.
And I think it's important for us to remember that He's not just out there. Mm. You know, all the stories in the Bible, those were real people.
Yeah.
And those times that He had His hand in their lives, whether it's Joseph or David or whomever, we're those people today.
Yeah.
And He still comes into our lives in a very physical, manifested way. And I don't think we can deny that. And certainly I've had that experience in my life where I have to say, in no uncertain terms, that was God at work.
This is exciting.
I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
In a very works-based kind of environment. German background where we are expected to achieve. We all loved each other, but we didn't necessarily go around hugging each other and telling each other how much we loved each other until my sister says I came along. And I kind of threw everybody.
Were you the oddball?
I was. Okay. I was the surprise of the family. I was the baby of the family. Okay. And so I always had that in me. And I was always drawn to God, but I never knew who He was or what it meant to have
what
a relationship.
What part of the country were you in? Where were you born?
Born in the Midwest.
Okay.
Grew up in New Jersey. So I like to say that an East Coast girl raised by Midwestern parents.
That's a great description. Okay. Yeah. So East Coast girl raised by Midwestern Catholic parents? Were your parents Catholic?
It was a mixed marriage, my grandmother would say. My mom was Catholic. My dad was Protestant.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But still very works-based.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We went to church on Sundays, and then we just kind of left it at that, unless we happened to miss a holy day of obligation, and the basement flooded, and then it was God punishing us.
Oh,
you know, it was kind of the sentiment.
Like an exchange transactional relationship with God a
very
little
much.
Bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Later in my dad's life, I had a lot of faith-based conversations. Mm. And he reflected, even though my parents gave me a Bible for confirmation, they never opened it. Mm. My dad said, I went to a Bible study once, but then I never went back.
Right.
So I grew up in an environment where we really didn't know God's word.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone. There are a lot of people that have grown up that way. And of course, are currently growing up that way.
Yeah. And I never felt good enough. Mm. You know, like I said, it was very achievement oriented, works based kind of, even though my parents never had that, you have to achieve. It was just expected.
Yeah, it was like an unwritten rule. Yeah, I get that.
Very much so.
So where did God come into the story for you? Like, if you were in this environment growing up as a child, at what point did the idea of God or faith start to bubble up for you more personally?
I always had it, but it was in college.
Okay.
Where really I was dealing with that, wrestling with the works kind of expectations. I found, I don't remember exactly when I found this particular song along the way, but it was a Christian music artist who had a song, Free to Fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that really spoke to me.
Oh, interesting.
That,
yeah.
That it's okay. That I can fail and still be valuable as a person. And that's my message that I want others to know, that we are valued. And it's not the mistakes that we make.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't change who we are in God's eyes.
Right.
But I didn't have that connection with the Christ message at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It took, after college, I graduated and had, I didn't know my purpose and became very depressed. Mm-hmm. I was living in Rochester, New York. I was by myself. I didn't have friends. My family was scattered across the country. So I didn't have that grounding.
In a community.
And I ended up in a very despondent place.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a good place. And I wouldn't have taken any action against that. But I also said, well, you know, if something happens to me, I wouldn't care there either.
Uh-huh.
And I think Satan heard that from me and tried to take advantage of it.
Right.
And said, here's my chance. I ended up coming home from work one night. I was abducted.
What?
And it was only, and here was Satan saying, haha, I got her. Because now I can take her away. But it was through God's physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
God put his hand in my life. And through a miracle, my life was saved.
Wow.
And I recognized that. And I said, oh, I'm important enough to God. God sees me.
Right.
That he says, no, I'm going to take beauty from what the devil wanted to steal.
Right.
And that launched my journey into having a relationship with God.
Wow.
Shortly after that, I was.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop. Okay. I know you have a lot more to share, but do you mind if I ask a few questions?
No, go for it.
Okay. Because you just said that you were abducted.
Yes.
And you don't have to tell details about this at all, but that's a very big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to just say it back the way I heard. You were battling depression, and you were to the point that you were not actively seeking to take your own life, but you were also very much not valuing your own life.
Exactly.
And just kind of like indifferent about whether or not you were alive.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst, while you were in the middle of that darkness and that battle, then you had this crime take place against you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were abducted while you were living in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had maybe while you were living this nightmare, you encountered God.
Mm-hmm. In a very real way where I could not deny that it was him.
Okay. And you knew it wasn't, and like in whenever you had this encounter, you knew that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it wasn't some freak accident or some thing, right? Like you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was with you.
Yes.
And that he was saving you. Well, clearly you were delivered out of this situation.
Yep.
And after coming out of this, you then had this journey of discovering more about God. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I started reading the Bible. I started seeking much more. I remember sitting on my bedroom floor and I opened up the Bible and I read the faith without works is dead. And to me, that was saying, it's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he has done.
Mm.
That I am accepted. That it doesn't matter whatever works I have without Jesus. It's meaningless.
Right.
And he has accepted me and he loves me. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, why did nobody ever tell me this? I got mad. I'm like,
yes.
oh, oh my gosh, this is profound. And it was that moment that I surrendered my life over to Christ. Mm. Now, I can't say that everything worked out beautifully after that, because I still had a long way to go. Right. I still had a lot of surrender to go.
Well, and God comes for broken people, right? So,
and he has,
it's not like a magic potion or something that we just, you know, he's attracted. I actually recently, I've been doing a lot of writing recently, mm-hmm. and I've got it. It's all going to be coming out eventually. I'll put it on my site. But I, right now it's just sitting there waiting on me to have the time to get it out there. But one of the things that I've just been reflecting on so much, one day recently that I was writing, I was reflecting on scripture that really accentuated the fact that God is attracted to brokenness. And this idea of like it being kind of an active verb of attraction to brokenness has really kind of sparked this curiosity or this interest for me of learning more about that, because the world is attracted to strength, mm-hmm. right? The world is attracted, like everything you're talking about, achievement, success, competency, strength. We like to put on a pedestal all the things that seem strong or attractive mm-hmm. to us, right? That's what we showcase. Even on social media, that's what individuals will showcase. It's what the news will point out. You know, mm-hmm. why is it that we pay attention to random people that live in, you know, cities that are on TV shows or something? Why do we want to know about their lives? There's this sense of, oh, they've accomplished something, or that they are something that I'm not.
You know? They're beautiful.
Or they're beautiful, yeah. or whatever the case is. And I really... I'm just so fascinated by this idea that God is attracted to brokenness. You think God of the universe, God of all time, you know, the beginning and the end, is drawn towards things that are broken and wants to restore them.
He is definitely the great physician and the healer, and he brings all those broken pieces together. Cool.
Yeah.
For his glory.
Right. I love it. And for our good. I mean, look at what he's done in your life. So, okay, keep on going. Yeah. I'm just so excited about the fact that that this is just showcasing what you're saying, is that you still had a lot of growing to do. You still had a lot of learning. You were still dealing with a bunch of mess. And I just wanted to point out the fact that God is not scared of that, because he saved you in that moment, mm-hmm. and he's with you from that point forward. And you were working through it.
And he's so patient as mm-hmm. well. I made every effort to be obedient, and I still made another mess.
Right.
I ended up entering into a marriage against his mm-hmm. direction. Mm-hmm. I remember mm-hmm. now, looking back, I had a number of people who were telling me, don't do it. I had a number of people. I had... God whispering in my ear, one of those almost audible mm-hmm. kind of experiences where he said, basically, don't do it. And I twisted that in my own desire and my own rush into mm-hmm. what I thought I wanted. And I said, oh, if I don't do this, I won't get to see your glory. What he really said is, mm-hmm. this is not going to be a good idea. So that ended up beginning 23 years of a lot of pain, a lot of abuse. But I also see God was patient, mm-hmm. and he knew that I needed that time to go through that. One of the things that I've learned, I would never wish for those tough times. I would never wish for that struggle. I would never wish for that heartache, but I'm mm-hmm. glad I went through it. Mm-hmm. Because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have gotten to see God's glory to the degree and be able to grow closer to God like I have if I hadn't gone through all of that. Mm-hmm. So fast forward 23 years later, God put all the pieces in my life where he started to speak to me again and open my eyes. and give me the opportunity to say this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And that was the leap of the big leap of faith, the big trust, like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm depending on you. And I took my kids mm-hmm. and left. And that's out. Where I feel like life began. Mm-hmm. He is bringing beauty out of ashes. Mm-hmm. He is restoring. And there are times that I still struggle with the bitterness.
Yeah, of course.
But then I have to praise him. Mm-hmm. And he starts to show me his promise, his mm-hmm. opportunity, his beauty, that he restores things that we think are dead. He restores things that we think cannot
right.
be restored.
Right.
He is faithful and he loves us so much.
Wow.
So that was 3 years ago.
Okay.
Just over 3 years ago.
Okay.
I've continued to see God work miraculously mm-hmm. in not just my life, but the life of my children. The other one who bore the brunt of abuse in that 23 years was my son. Mm-hmm. And he is definitely part of my faith story.
Really?
His one dream was to join the military. And because of a lot of the stuff that went on and a lot of the abuse that mm-hmm. he was subjected to, no one believed that he could ever get into the military. Mm. He had an experience we went through that really was keeping him out of the military. He tried enlisting. They said no. He tried a waiver. They immediately said no. And that began a year of spiritual struggle.
Turmoil.
And I had to release him. I had mm-hmm. to, I really wrestled with God. And I understand when people say they wrestled with God, I understand that now mm-hmm. because I had that. Mm-hmm. And I finally had to surrender him and his future over to God and trust. And that's been a big part of what God has been wanting me to. There's a couple of lessons I think God wants me to learn, and mm-hmm. I'm still trying to learn.
Right.
In this last 3 years, and trust is a big one.
Yeah.
So for a year, my son and I prayed. We sought. We went through. Started Plan B, C, and D for his future, mm-hmm. with the assumption that God may say no mm-hmm. to the military forever. So then what do we do?
So it sounds like your son has a faith.
Oh, he does.
Okay.
And you know, it's like Joseph, he had to go spend that time in prison. I get that. Mm-hmm. My son had to have that year.
Right.
He had to have that struggle for him to see God working in his life, for him to mature, for mm-hmm. him to.
But he turned to God.
It. He did. Mm-hmm. He definitely could have gone one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, he sought out the God route.
Yeah.
And really put his faith in. And it got to be where he finally said, I'd rather have God's plan and God's will than my dream.
Yeah.
And
that's big.
It was, I mean, so many nights of tears. Yeah.
And it sounds like you had a similar experience. Thank you for sharing that about him, because I think that, you know, you even just saying that you and your son were praying together and mm-hmm. that you were seeking just kind of alerted me to the fact that he was also seeking God in this. Mm-hmm. But in your story, you're saying that you were also letting go. And mm-hmm. it sounds like you were also saying to God in your own words, I'm preferring your way mm-hmm. over whatever I would hope for my son.
Yeah.
Which is really hard.
I had those discussions, those arguments with God where I would tell him, I think I love my son more than you do.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Right. Right.
And he would say, no, you need to strip that thought away. Mm. Because I know his plan. Mm. I know that Jeremiah 29:11 is my life verse, and that got mm-hmm. me through a lot of dark times mm-hmm. Over the years. He has a plan for us, and that plan is a good plan. Mm-hmm. And it may not be what we expect in the next year or 5 years or our lifetime. It might be because he knows the whole picture.
Right.
We only know this tiny little snippet.
Right.
So it was, my son had finally submitted his last waiver. This was his last, if the military didn't accept this waiver, his hopes of the military would be forever done. He submitted on a Friday and he was told it would take no more than a week to come through. Well, Monday came, didn't hear anything. Tuesday, Wednesday, still nothing. Thursday, we're like, okay, what's going on? You know, it's kind of now or never. And I remember thinking Thursday night, feeling like we were the Israelites starting to look at the Red Sea. And what were you going to do, God? Here's your answer. Your answer is a firm no.
Right.
Or what? Well, Friday morning comes and his recruiter calls me. He says, hey, where's Luke? I'm like, well, he's in the bathroom. Do you need me to get him? He goes, yeah. And he says, hey, Luke, I got some good news and bad news. What do you want? Luke's like, the bad news. He's like, bad news, dude. You need to come in today.
Oh.
Good news is the waiver was accepted. It was Good Friday. Oh. The day that Jesus broke the chains for all of us because of our sin is the day he broke the chains of my son to release my son from his past.
Yeah.
God parted the Red Sea on that day.
That's awesome. You know, this is making me think of the very first column that I wrote on my site, which was not the first thing that I ever wrote. I've been writing for like 30 years, but I just more recently started actually publishing some of these things. And I had this aha moment during it was kind of a combination of doing a study at the church on First John and then also my having time with the Lord on a daily basis. And I would often be reading out of First, Second, or Third John and reflecting on those things during some quiet time in the mornings. And I'm kind of fascinated with this idea of finding courage, or God giving us courage to be able to obey him whenever we're scared, and to be able to follow his word, obey his commands, and to surrender to his ways whenever we don't understand and whenever we're scared. And the reason I'm fascinated with this is because he has done this in my life over and over and over again. And so it causes me to be thirsty to learn about those things and to learn more about him and why, how he does these things. So anyway, I had this aha moment that I ended up writing about in this column of how is it that we get to know God? And I had all these preconceived ideas of how you get to know God, which I actually think they're all right. I mean, they are part of how we get to know God, and I won't go into the detail now, but you know, just as an example, it would be like reading the Bible or praying or being a part of a church community or something that's a little bit more generic, right? But when I was reading in this study, it just hit me that how we get to know God is when we follow him, when we obey him. I know the word obey can be kind of like maybe prickly to some people, but for me, it's more so someone that is giving me instruction and am I going to follow it, right? And it's someone who's smarter than me, who knows more than me, who has my best interest in mind, who I can trust. And yet, am I going to obey that? Am I going to follow that? Am I going to follow those instructions, or am I going to go my own way because of the fact that I think that I'm smarter, I'm more, that I see more, or that I want control, or whatever the case is. And when we follow him and follow his instructions or obey him or hear his word, hear his command in our life, and then do what he says to do, in that space, we really get to know him. And why is that? It's because that's where he is. He's on that path. So if you want to get to know somebody, you have to be with them. right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you're going to be with them is by turning to them and going with them on their journey. And if God is going that way and I say, okay, God, I'm going to go that way too, then I'm going to get to know him. And so that's been really bubbling up in my mind as you've been talking, because it sounds like you've been at all of these different crossroads. You've had these different experiences, mm-hmm. but ultimately I hear you really just emphasizing how it's like, this is who God is. I have seen him. Mm-hmm. You know, he uses signs and wonders. He speaks to those who follow him. He delivers you out of your darkness. He meets you in your need. This is the God that mm-hmm. I know. And how do you know this? Because you have been with him in these moments. And whether it has been your own volition to turn to him, or if he has like taken your shoulders and put his hands mm-hmm. on you and just like shifted you towards him. You know, he has put you on his path with him, and there you have gotten to know him. You've gotten to see him.
And it comes down to our willingness to surrender. Trust is such a continual message that I'm hearing from him, that I need to trust him. And I say that I claim that I believe. But who is it that I believe? Who do I put my trust in? And what does it mean right. to trust? And that's a daily surrender mm-hmm. because I'm constantly looking at what I'm doing day to day, or some of the where do I put my attention? And I still want to do things my way. Yeah. I still want, okay, God, this is my dream, or this is my request. And I constantly have to remember to surrender and reevaluate, what does it mean to trust him? And am I doing what I claim I'm doing? Am mm-hmm. I trusting? Mm-hmm. Am I surrendering? And the more I do, that's when God really reveals himself. And oh my gosh, He is amazing.
He's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. When we do surrender, he fills us with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
true.
Filling transforms who we are. Mm. The person that I was even 5 years ago, where, yeah, I believe, but I don't think I was filled like I am today.
Mm-hmm.
He works through that. So it's not us. Mm-hmm. It's not our glory. It's not what we do. It's what he's doing through us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we surrender and let him do that, the better life is.
That's so true.
It's like I tell my daughter, I've done it both ways. I've done it without Jesus, and I've done it with Jesus. With Jesus is so much better.
So much better.
He does not waste anything.
You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so there have been so many lessons in this conversation today, but I always love to close just speaking to a person who might be listening, who's struggling with faith, who's struggling with doubt, or who might be struggling to believe at all. And I would love to hear, what advice would you have for that person?
Know that you are loved and valued, even if you feel like you're not good enough. There is nothing God can't restore. There is nothing that he cannot use for your good and his glory. And ask him to show you. Ask him to come into your life. And you'll be amazed when you ask him, and you don't even have to know how. It doesn't matter, because he does. He will step in, and the transformation you will experience, and I've heard other women in your podcast have shared the transformation when you make that tiny step of faith.
It's
amazing. It is. It really is.
Yeah. If you're doubting, listen to a handful of podcast episodes mm-hmm. on Faith mm-hmm. Conversations podcast, and you will quickly find out that he really genuinely does transform lives, even if you don't understand it or are struggling to believe
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, but that is such good advice. Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding us of just how God can be like big and amazing and overwhelming and hard to articulate, but he's also very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that what you just shared is just a very simple truth that can save lives. So thank you for that. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.